You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show,
live from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58. Earlier on the show, Broncos head coach Sean Payton, comedian and actor Sebastian Maniscalco, Super Bowl champions Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, comedians Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, 8-time Entertainer of the Year Kenny Chesney. Coming up, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, ESPN broadcasting legend Chris Berman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show of our final day of residency here in Las Vegas prior to the big game is on the air. And welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show live from Las Vegas at the TurboTax studio. Like football, life is all about making moves. And when you file with TurboTax, you've got the tools, experts, and services needed to make your moves count. I am thrilled to be here on the Roku channel right now, not just because in general I love being at the Super Bowl and being on this space, this channel, this portal, but last hour was so off the rails, I was concerned we'd be canceled in between hours two and three. But we're still here.
Hey.
After Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura, Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski all showed up at the same time. Oh, my goodness. Kenny Chesney just left. And look who's joining us at the top of hour number three.
Woo.
One of the best in the business of calling games. 3-time Pro Bowler, 14-year NFL veteran. Courtesy of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
Oh,
as
yeah.
If
wait,
we haven't had enough.
Did you bring some,
Greg Olson?
Do we have any Fireball?
Because we've already finished the Fireball.
That's a tough act to follow.
Right. They don't need it anymore.
I heard you guys. I had some, but they told me to leave it backstage. They said the last segment was a little much.
This is a dry hour.
Guys, this is professional television.
Thank you, Greg.
What the hell? It's a tough act to follow. How do I follow that and then Kenny Chesney?
Be yourself, Greg Olson. That's what you're
Greg Olson, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good to see you, man.
Doing great. Good to see you, man.
You are so great at calling games. You are stupendous. And I say this to you every time. I knew you had the chops when you would just come on NFL Network at the combine.
That was fun.
Being out there on the field with the guys.
That was great, wasn't it?
It was great. It really was great. You're awesome at what you do. What happened with the 49ers the last two games that you saw to try and explain how I guess they can either win or potentially not? What do we take away essentially from the two games?
Well, I think you can take away two things. I think you can take away that in the playoffs they haven't played their best ball yet, which could be good and bad, right? So obviously there's still room to grow. They can still play better. They showed it pretty much the entire regular season, give or take a couple games, that when they're at their best, they're a tough beat, right? They're as good a roster, as good a coaching staff, philosophy, and structure as there is in the NFL. They weren't at their best, but having said all of that, the NFL, you're very rarely going to always have your A game. You're very rarely always going to be at your best and have everything go your way. They found themselves trailing both the divisional and championship round.
Yeah.
Credit to Brock Purdy, that offense, the defense got stops that they needed to in the second half against Detroit. And when it mattered the most, something they have not done well under Kyle Shanahan, which is play from behind, come back and win games when trailing in the fourth quarter, they're able to do it twice in a row. That bodes well because I don't anticipate either one of these teams going too far ahead of the other. This is going to come down to the end most likely, and the teams that handle those pressure moments, those special situations, manage the clock, manage timeouts, and play the best situational ball, they're the teams that win these close games.
Well, I mean, it's kind of tough then to not think the Chiefs are going to win this because they've been through the most
they
of
have.
These wars, right? They're now taking a different path to the Super Bowl than one that they've already won taking, right? And then this is a tougher, one would say, crucible to knock off the two and then the one seeds in those seeds' houses in back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
You know, so it's tough to think that they're not going to be the ones playing the best situational football when the game's on the line.
Yeah, and listen, that's a credit to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Andy's been doing this forever, and of course the two of them have been doing it together now for a long time. I think what's unique, though, about this Kansas City journey is, yes, Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid, they're always going to be the headline of the story. This is a defensive story. This is Steve Spagnuolo and this young defense that was supposed to be a transition year last year, mm-hmm. starting three or four rookies on that Super Bowl winning team last season. And because of Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid, the offense kind of carried them and allowed them to weather some of those young, you know, early NFL, early, you know, kind of trials and tribulations that young players go through. And now it's completely flipped. You know, years ago, if you would have said that Patrick Mahomes was going to score 17 points in a playoff game, you'd have said their season would be over.
Toast.
They win it. They beat Baltimore, scoring 17 points. This is a defensive-led team with the best quarterback in the league, and they knew they had to make that investment on the young side because of how much cap that Mahomes takes up, and he knows he has to make up for some of these new receivers and get Rasheed Rice up to speed. Of course, he's always got Kelce, but there's a lot on Mahomes' shoulders, rightfully so, but this defense, they're the story for Kansas City going in.
So then knowing the 49ers offense the way you do and having seen it the last two games – in person, how equipped is Kansas City to do it for a fourth straight game against San Francisco in a playoff?
Yeah, and I think that's the question. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan comes out of the gates. We thought last week against Detroit, or 2 weeks ago against Detroit now, in the NFC Championship game, we said early on in the call, the approach for San Francisco was, this Detroit team is fantastic against the run. They pride themselves on stopping, but they are very susceptible against the pass, right? This needed to be a pass-heavy approach, and they didn't really do that early on, and then their big comeback was really spurred through the passing game. I think this week against Kansas City, if you find yourself in a trail, you find yourself playing from behind, you find yourself in a million third and longs, with this pressure package and the ability of Steve Spagnuolo to build the blitzes and the corners off the edge and L'Jarius Sneed and the ability to use multiple personnel groupings to throw off your rules and your assignments, it gets challenging. So I think early on, it's a heavy dose of McCaffrey, it's a heavy dose of Brock Purdy under center, hard play action pass on early downs, use the complement of the run game. I don't think this is a race to 30 points like it would be in past years against Mahomes, where you'd say, okay, we can't sit here and sit on the ball because Mahomes is going to have 30. I think this is a low 20s, maybe mid-20s type game, very different than last year's, you know, Super Bowl where, you know, both teams were north of 30.
Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your production meeting conversations with Brock Purdy, what impression can you express here?
You know, it's cool. We got to call his kind of debut game last year, his first start. It was against Brady. It was against Tampa in San Francisco. Yeah. So we called that game. So it's been cool to kind of be along and see not only his growth as a player, but also his growth in the production meetings, the growth in his ability to answer tough questions and deal with the media. It's been really cool. And I think for the success that he's had and all the wins that he's had and all the scrutiny for whatever reason that people continue to have, which is somewhat dumbfounding, you forget that he's only started one full season. I mean, he's took over week 14 or 15 of last year. He hasn't even played a season and a half yet.
Right.
And people want to, you know, make a big indictment of what his future looks like. It's really remarkable from a huge arm surgery. We called that game, too. I mean, we've been there for the highs and lows of Brock Purdy. I mean, We were there in the NFC championship game last year when he blew out his UCL, and they couldn't attempt a forward pass in the second half against Philly.
Yeah, and then you were there for the game against Philly this year when they
had
absolutely
a little redemption.
Eviscerated
yeah, it's,
them.
It's been fun following them. They're a great story, and Shanahan's as good as it gets. And, man, they got some dudes on that team that are as good as it gets.
But straight up, when Purdy strolled into that production meeting room fresh off of filling in for Jimmy G, and this is his first start against Brady. And
yeah, we were like –
because, again, you're judging a book by its cover.
Yeah, he was the third guy.
You're like, Bambi's going to get eaten by the Wolves here, right?
I mean, we don't know what to expect. I'll be honest. Obviously, we knew his career at Iowa State. We knew, obviously, he was a successful four-year starter.
Yeah.
Started 48-some-odd games, something like that. So, I mean, he was an experienced quarterback in general, just not at the NFL level, of course, as the last pick as a rookie. But, you know, Trey Lance started, then Jimmy G went in, he gets hurt. So, I mean, when you get to your third quarterback, expectations are very low, and that's not unique to Brock, or that's just the unique nature of the NFL. Most teams don't have two quarterbacks, let alone three, but you can't say enough about the way he's handled it. He's wise and mature beyond his years. He does a great job blocking out a lot of the noise that surrounds him and those narratives, and he also gets the benefit, which is not an indictment on him at all, but he gets the benefit of playing with a tremendously talented offensive group with one of the best offensive play callers in the league.
Travis Kelce is one of the best in the business, Greg Olsen. And how does he continuously get so wide open? It is just mind-blowing because you know the Niners circled Kelce and you know the Ravens circled Kelce and he got 11 targets and he caught all 11 of them.
Yeah, there's certain guys that just exceed reality. They just exceed expectations year in and year out. It seems like Kelce, for as good as he is in the regular season, he's even somehow even better. And when you find yourself in the postseason categories where you're chasing and passing Jerry Rice,
yeah,
that's pretty rarefied air. And you know, I think what's unique, you mentioned, like, why is he always so open? Yes, every week there is a guy wearing a jersey that says number 87. He's on the scout team, and on every snap it's, all right, 87. You got to make sure you got him covered. And then the game comes, and it looks like nobody knew that he was going to have the ball thrown to him. And a lot of that is because what you prep for Kelce, the routes that, you know, that coach draws up on the little cards that he shows the scout team, that's not how the game unfolds. That's not how he runs the routes. Him and Mahomes have a really unique understanding of timing, spacing, and when the ball needs to come out and where it needs to be thrown. And as long as he's in that general area, they're fine. How he gets there, the tempo of it, the route, it doesn't look like the line on a piece of paper. It's very hard for defenses to prepare for the uncertainty of what he's going to do, because his ability to be flexible and just react to what the defense throws him, you could have the best defense for that route. He's not going to run that route. He's going to, if you're open, stay open, and if you're not, get open. That's how he does every play, and it's very, very unique.
Greg Olsen here on the Rich Eisen Show. Like I told you, you're so great at this. You're so terrific at it. You've excelled at it. You called last year's Super Bowl. We all know Tom Brady's joining Fox Sports next year. Do you know what your 2024 assignment is?
As of right now, you know, obviously we weren't sure if it was going to be for 1 year last year with the Super Bowl year, and if Tom was going to come when he retired.
Right.
He decided to sit out another year and take another year off, so it allowed me to call it for the second year this past season. And you know, it was just a matter of when. You know, we didn't know for sure how all the timing was going to work out and whatnot, but obviously it's pretty clear that Tom's going to come and he's going to take that seat alongside Kevin. And that's we knew 2 years ago we signed up for, but you know, we think that the last 2 years, what we've been able to, you know, put on tape, right? The player's word is, hey, you are what you put on tape, and that's how people judge you. We feel as good as, you know, as possible about what we can do. I feel like my goal is to call number one games. That has not changed. If anything, I'm even more committed to chasing that path. And as of now, I'm still with Fox and going to be with Joe Davis on the number two crew and go back, which was where Kevin and I were before we took over when Joe and Troy left. And you know, so as of now, but listen, my goal, and I've been honest with Fox, and they've been clear with me, and I want to call top games. I want to call Super Bowls. I want to call games in front of 60 million people, 115 million people. You know, that's where the magic is, and that's where the excitement is. No different than as a player. Nobody ever signs up to be a player to just say, I'm happy to be on the team. That's not my style. I'm not just happy to be on the team. And how all of that shakes out, as we all know, you just can't predict this industry. But I've enjoyed doing it. I love doing it. And it's something I hope I get to do for a long time.
Well, again, I love your honesty. You know,
You're the man.
Yeah, so. You know, your honesty is and I totally understand, you know, your approach and your opinion, because I tell these guys all the time, my philosophy is not me, then who, and if not now, when. So I take advantage of any opportunity, and I walk through front doors. I will tell anybody in management, this is what I prefer to do, this is what I'd like to do. And if then we have a conversation, and normally, you know, a lot of responses, hopefully what I'd like to do, and there's contracts and things of that nature but, you know, you deserve to call games that you want to call.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, and I want to make everyone understand, like, you weren't going royal. You're talking about your agent and your representatives when, like, we feel that this is the, or maybe your family or whomever, when you're talking about, we feel like we want to call the right game. You were using the we right there, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the collective we, in the sense of that I didn't just get to do these, I didn't have these opportunities presented to me, and I didn't do all of this by myself.
Sure.
It was not just, hey, I woke up one day and said, I'm going to go call games, and went and sat in a booth and did it. There was a lot of people, and Fox is at the top of that list, right? They're the ones who let me call a game in 2017 when I was a player and joined a three-man booth.
I remember
With Charles Davis and Kevin Burke.
And other teams didn't want you in the production meetings, right?
Yeah, the Vikings were not happy. Yes. It was a... It was a whole thing. But, you know, that was awesome. It was unheard of for a former player to call. And at the time, that was the number two crew. I mean, they didn't stick me down the bottom. And then I did a I did my first two-man booth with Kenny Albert in 2019 as a current player on a bye week. And me and Kevin called 5 weeks, the only 5 weeks of the XFL. So, I mean, there was a lot of people and a lot of people that gave me opportunities when, you know, listen, this is how I've summed it up from the beginning. I was never going to win the resume award against every former coach and every NFL quarterback who retired with a Hall of Fame jacket. Mm-hmm. Only way for me to ever survive in this industry and to ever ascend in this industry is to be good. That was my only option. I didn't achieve – there was nothing else I could fall back on. Well, the guy's got I needed to be good, and that's why I thought I could do the games, because not everyone wants to do games. It's hard, you know, it's hard doing games.
It's hard, but it's exhilarating.
There's nothing better.
It's exhilarating.
I love it. And I was confident that if I was given opportunities and people could look past, hey, he doesn't have, you know, 10 Super Bowls, he doesn't have a Hall of Fame jacket, you know, he didn't play in a major market, didn't play in Dallas or New York or wherever. Could people just put all that aside and just go, how does he do this job?
Mm-hmm.
If that was the way everyone was being judged and whatnot, I felt like I could go toe-to-toe with anybody. And that was my approach early on. And I told Fox, I'm going to try to make this as hard as possible for you. And I was I'm on record saying that to them, and I say that in jest, but like, you wouldn't want me to approach it any other way. Yeah. You wouldn't want me to just roll over and die and just say, oh my God, I'm just happy to be here. No, I'm going to try to be great. If I am great, if I stink, it makes the job, it makes it a lot easier to be replaced.
Well, you are great, so can confirm. What are you doing with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey?
Your guys over here are losing their minds.
They are.
We want some. He's delivering.
All right, so how many times have you guys watched a game, your team, just a game, and there's a bad call, the ball doesn't go your way, you throw a pick six, and you want to, like, smash your TV, you're yelling at people. So we've got a solution for it, right? Oh. We call it Fireball the Call. You got your little cinnamon whiskey there, Fireball, next to you, and every time the game doesn't go your way, your guy drops a pass, wrong call, you throw the red challenge flag, take a shot. So it's a nice way to just move past. You get a little bit of a burn there. You move forward. Jeez. And it prevents smashing TVs. It prevents. Now, we're going to do this responsibly, obviously, because we're not promoting irresponsibility on this Rich Eisen show.
I appreciate it.
But that's the campaign. It's been a blast. We made a fun little video that got picked up pretty good a couple weeks ago. And it's been a good time working with Fireball. It's been a blast.
Well, I'm glad. Never had this as a Jet fan, because that'd have been blackout one quarter into the season this year. I'd have been blackout on the floor. Greg, you're the best, man.
Thanks, guys.
For coming on at Greg Olson 88 on Twitter and Instagram. Look who just sat down on our couch over there.
Wow.
The Schwamm.
So I got Kenny Chesney before me and Chris Berman after me.
That's
I'm going
right.
home.
That's it.
I'm going home. It's done.
There you go.
It doesn't get any better than this.
The great.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
My life, growing up as a kid,
I
knew what happened in the NFL with that voice telling me the highlights, the games. I miss those days where you didn't know what the other games around the country were doing until that man voiced it over and told you what was happening. So, great to see you.
Plus
good to see you.
Super
congrats
cool.
on everything.
Super
Rich,
cool.
you too.
Oh, please. How about this? My
this
last
awesome.
Guest of a Super Bowl week, Chris Berman. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Greg Olson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just a friendly reminder that you can listen to Super Bowl 58 on Westwood One streaming for free, sponsored by AutoZone. On Super Bowl Sunday, hear every minute of Westwood One's broadcast live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms, and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. You're the best, brother. Greg Olson and Chris Berman joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show, final hour of our Super Bowl week in Vegas.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, we are going to be rejoined by our radio audience in short order. I couldn't be happier to have as my final guest of this Super Bowl week somebody who I adore and is a goat of the broadcast industry, to say the least, the great Chris Berman. Good to see you, sir.
Woo! Hi, Rick.
How are you?
Good to be with you, Rich. Betty Davis Eisen.
That's me.
I can't not think of you in those SportsCenter days. He was one of us once.
Okay? That's right. And I will never forget when you gave me a choice between Betty Davis Eisen and Kaleidoscope
and you
Eisen.
Picked.
Betty Davis Eisen. I thought I liked it.
Kim Carnes, because when you get in the business as long as us, or me at least.
Yes.
You sound like Kim Carnes. We have no voice left.
Betty Day, I loved it. And I felt knighted, you know, like, or felt like I got to the back of the checkers board, you know. I got kinged by you.
You're on the squad.
I appreciate that.
You're on the
that.
Roster.
I've got a story I'll tell when the full audience comes back from when I first met you. I will tell it, you know.
As you should.
I'm going to tell
story.
It. And then we'll give our predictions and things of that nature.
Let's do it.
Okay. Our radio audience is about to be back. When did you get into town? Just a couple of
Wednesday evening.
Okay.
Things to do. The summer all St. Jude dinner.
That was last night, right?
Yes. And that, I'm happy to be involved with that every year, or even just go there, or to Tony Romo. But, I mean, kids with cancer, say no more.
Of course.
Right? Really, you don't have to say any more.
That's what
that,
I do my
right?
run. I do my run in support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
I know you do.
Raising as much cash for them. It's a beautiful, beautiful event.
It's a wonderful event.
I know you won the Summerall Award a few years ago, too, right?
A few years ago, like.
Yeah.
2008.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know. I had a full head of hair there. You had half.
You and me both. Right. Chris Berman is here, and our radio network is back with us. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What a day that we've had, and it just gets better with the great Chris Berman from ESPN back here on the Rich Eisen Show at a Super Bowl. You're always so kind. You know, whenever you're here at the Super Bowl and free to stop by. So
well,
I appreciate that.
I enjoy being with you. You're on every channel that I know, the Roku channel, NFL Network. I mean, you were the. I really enjoyed you, and I texted you over there when you were doing a couple of the Europe games.
Thanks.
Did you know?
Yes.
How did any of us know, sitting in Bristol, Connecticut, where, you know, you and Stu had a wonderful sports center. You know how I feel about when you guys did it.
Yes, I know.
I felt you were continuing what we were doing.
Yes.
And I still feel that. And then here we are. One day I'll be announcing a game in Germany or in London
really,
or in where, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's where one of the many things that I picked up from you and want to emulate from you is – don't take it for granted, and also have fun doing it, and live in the moment. And if you come across as you're having fun because you're having fun, then everyone else will take that. And that's your style, man. That is your style.
It's
always been
basic.
Your style.
Not that I'm pretty basic, really. But that's not about me. It's
no, I know.
It's really easy to, like we just talked with Greg coming off the say. He had a couple of times when they weren't in the playoffs, and he was with us on a couple of shows before he got big, and he's great at what he does.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I might have told you this then. I don't know. Like, if all else fails, talk about football. Because you like it. Well, obviously, he knows it. He knows more than, I mean, forgot more than you and I will ever know. But if you like it, you're not faking it. And somebody out there is feeling just like you. And it's as pure as it can get. I mean, now, if you're upbeat or humorous, if, dare I say, I might be, or you're more... Bob Lee-like, who likes the sports, but in a different way. I mean, we're two different animals.
Yes.
But be yourself. But if you like it, people will see it.
That's at 100%. And I tell the story quite frequently to these guys here, and because I get asked a lot, you know, what was it like being on SportsCenter in the mid-90s? I get that question a lot. And I'll never forget when I got to ESPN. I came from Redding, California, market, whatever it was. And you were doing SportsCenter in that rare kind of week for you where you would come back and do like a, it was a residency.
Like MacArthur, like I returned.
Yeah, you returned. It was like a Bristol residency for the week for you, you know?
That's actually very funny.
It's really what it was like. And so I was,
Bristol.
It was what you were doing.
That's
and
good,
so you did like, you know, 3-4 SportsCenters in a row for the week. And I was in what they called observation mode. So, again, I would observe
right
before they put me on the air. They wanted to make sure I got the scheme of things. And I was in the meeting room. You walked in. And the guy I saw on television was the guy who walked in the room. And you were pure. And I picked up from that. And then pretty much I picked up that the people who were successful and everyone that we were working with who was, you know, terrific colleagues, they were the same on the air as off the air. But I went through this period of time in my first 3 weeks that I was on the air where I was walking the hallways and I was wondering if I belonged. I'm not going to lie. And I'll never forget. I don't know if they still have. Do they still put the ESPN banners on the
for
walls?
For everybody to sign them?
Do they still? Okay, great.
For charity.
Right, yeah. For charity. So these banners, the ESPN banners that you would see on television that would be draped over the side of the stadium to let you know who's broadcasting the game is if you didn't know. Right? At any rate, so they would be draped across the cubicles of the that line the hallways of ESPN, and they'd say, please sign for this charity, All Honor Talent. And I was nervous about signing them because I didn't know if somebody would be coming out of their offices and seeing the new kids signing like I belonged, you know? I don't know if you remember this moment.
Well, you've told me this
a while back.
No, but Dave, and I only... Go ahead.
So you are...
I don't remember it at the time, but only because you've told me.
I go into the makeup room because you're doing a baseball tonight just before the sports center that I was doing after.
Right.
Okay, and you're in the makeup chair. And I go up to you, you know, and I'd never spoken to you before. And I said to you, this is the first time I'd ever spoken to you, Chris, where I said, you know, I explained my conundrum, you know, that I've just, how many do I have to, I said, you're the perfect person to ask. How many of SportsCenters do I have to do before I feel comfortable signing? And your answer is like, how many have you done? At least one? And I'm like, yeah, I've done several. And you said, F it. Sign them all, is what you said. And
the value of those banners went up unbelievably, Rich.
Yes, I was looking for that confirmation. But no, I immediately pivoted, unsheathed the Sharpie, and signed them all. And you could have easily big-timed me, or you could have, but that's not your style. But I'm just saying that you could have easily... you know, made me feel a little uncomfortable or not confirmed it. You made me feel completely at ease on the spot. And that just meant
Thank
so
you.
Much for me to cut loose or do my job, you know, comfortably. And I wanted to share that, you know, in front of
Thank
the cameras
you.
And everybody.
So I fooled you too, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
Here's the thing. Back then, when we're like you do here and for the NFL now, I mean, you're on all the time. I mean, you're younger than me. I mean, I was once on all the time.
Right.
If you're on every day, or just about every day,
yeah,
and you're faking it, not you, one.
Yes.
Someone, they'll see through it eventually because you're an actor or an actress a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're yourself, you're not gonna, not everyone's going to love you or even like you.
Right.
Hopefully they'll respect you for being, yeah, that was that guy. Yeah, I don't like your style. Fine. You know, some people like chocolate ice cream, some people like vanilla. I mean, it's just... But if you're on every day, I mean, to even to young sportscasters or hopefuls in anything, and you realized it, that be yourself, because that's one less thing you have to worry about. Does that make sense?
Of course. 100%. Chris Berman here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is your 42nd Super Bowl?
You know, my first one was, yes, that was, I think that's the number, the Niners' first one, fittingly, with them here.
Right.
My first one was their first, Super Bowl 16 at the Silver Dome in Pontiac.
Sure, when they were against the Bengals.
When they were unknown, they were that year, as were the Bengals, and Joe Montana was, Notre Dame, all right. Hmm. And the Niners were this, and I kind of, as you know, in those days.
You were all over them.
Well, I was their age. I did the West Coast show, Rich. For the first 4 years, I did the 230 Sports Center.
Yeah.
Pretty much. you do sprinkle here and there. Well, that's 11:30 out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they even know ESPN is on in 1981.
Right.
And I went to cover them, and it was the Friday before the championship game against the Catch, right?
Mm-hmm.
The famous the Catch. And nine players lined up to be interviewed. It was different then. A couple of them said, I remember, Randy Cross, Charlie Young,
mm-hmm.
a couple of you're the Swami. You've been picking us every week. Going, how do you even know that? Because we watch. You're on. I was doing the West Coast show, if you
ESPN
will.
And it was 2 years old.
We have
old
more.
That point. Yeah.
We have all the time in the world for you. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the owner, Eddie DeBartolo, is like 5 years older than me. We met him, and then the Catch. It's 2 days later, and you've seen that clip a million times. Still one of the highlights of my life, professional life. And I'm still friendly with all those guys, and that, you know, of course, Dwight, we lost with ALS.
Yes.
Became one of my best friends. And that, but at any rate, fitting that the Niners are back here.
Yes.
And that's kind of how I began in the Pontiac Silverdome when it was like 10 below, and it was an interesting week.
No, that video that you were referring to, you recreated the Catch? What did you do?
Well, No, the Catch, I did stand-up right after the game.
Oh, that's right.
You have one shot to get it right, because here they come. You this is live.
Tell the story. Go ahead, okay. Please.
Well, I mean, that was Joe Montana to Dwight Clark in 28-27 San Francisco over Dallas.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Beating, you know, unbelievable. The Niners are on the map, and the place is unbelievable. And in 3-2-1, here they come. And back then, we had the camera with 30-pound audio pack, and then with the long, someone's gonna get hurt if you don't. Here they come. Here come the fan. They're charging. I gotta roll it. 3-2-1, and I didn't stumble. I said whatever the hell I said for 25 seconds, and people are jumping in the background. And it was, we still play that all the time.
Yeah.
Now that's. I was young. I was like, this is. I can't believe you didn't know you were seeing history, but you knew you saw a great moment.
Of course.
And as it's turned out, it was the start of their dynasty.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Well.
The Catch.
And
Where were you?
So come this way. I mean, obviously you can't.
Yeah.
On about the five right here. Like on that five.
So you're just off the frame.
That's the right corner of the end zone.
Yes.
So we're on the left sideline.
Got it.
Running play from the 12 to the 5. Two plays before, tackled right here.
In front of you.
Lenville Elliott. Ooh. I picked up my cameraman who's light. Yeah. Greg Wade, he trusted me to get him out of the way, but he hung with the shot. And I picked him up by the collar, moved him back, and planted him. And we had the tackle, like, right here at the 5-yard. So this is 1981. And I'm still excited to tell it, and I'm still excited to see what we got in store this Sunday.
Exactly. Chris Berman here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think Super Bowl 58 comes down to, Chris? What do you think?
Close. First of all, close. Okay. Obviously. Well, most of these games the last 20 years are close,
right,
aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to, I mean, you want one or two things? I don't know much time we got. You don't need me to analyze it.
You got a couple minutes at least.
Well,
go for it.
Well, you know, Patrick, we're seeing greatness. You're a legendary coach, legendary quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Just like the Patriots, who were 4 out of 5 Super Bowls not so long ago. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. So they're at the top of their field, as is Steve Spagnuolo. Now, Andy and Steve don't play the game. You are seeing a chance for a repeat for the first time in 19 years, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean don't want San Francisco. It has nothing to do with it. I think we're due.
Yeah, I know.
We're due. Usually it's every decade, one or two of them, right?
Yes.
So for the Chiefs, can they, more than ever, because they seem to be playing on a margin that they weren't, this was not their plan. The way they're playing, mm-hmm. not their plan. But come late December, they went, ooh, we got to limit them to under. The only Buffalo scored over 20 the last month, 2 months.
Right.
So it comes down to those couple of drives that Kansas City will have,
mm-hmm.
the Rolodex defenses that, meaning you don't know what's coming, but there's a huge file in Steve Spagnuolo, what's coming. But conversely, for San Francisco, McCaffrey and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, their yards after catch. Kansas City's good tackling defense,
right.
Really good. These are the best at yards after catch, as you well know. Do they break a couple? The Chiefs can come from behind with Mahomes. You always feel you have a chance. it's not really how they want to play, right? That not anymore.
Correct.
So Mahomes has not turned the ball over in any of the three playoff games. Do they have another one like that? They had one fumble, I think, the Mecole Hardman.
Yeah,
through
the end zone. Yeah.
But it will be, can they wrap up enough so that San Francisco doesn't look like the team that steamrolled teams from, like, November 1st to Christmas? Or are there ways in the Niner defense that is really good, and you know all the players, that they're maybe up the middle a little bit for them?
Yeah.
For them.
Right.
Susceptible. They're in the Super Bowl. It's a chess game. I like the ball in Mahomes' hands very, very late. It's not a non-Brock. Brock Purdy's excellent. People that are stomping on him, not fair. Do you agree?
Of course. I agree. Of course.
I mean, he wins. He's on time. And being on time, even with a 6-yard pass, that allows Yak.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Agree?
Put it in the right spot.
Right. So they don't even have to stop a little bit. So.
So who are you taking?
I am taking the Chiefs, 23-20.
Okay.
I don't have a last play. Like, is it a field goal? I like their kicker a lot. Moody's a rookie kicker. Doesn't mean he can't make 6 of them. But that might be a little edge. And I'm just anxious to see, will the Niners look like that team that was steamrolling people? Because if they are, then even Kansas City's in trouble. Or have the Chiefs just figured out who they are? And couple of first downs and a punt, not so bad.
Right.
They thought they would never say that, ever. They won't be saying it next year, but they're saying it now. Can they really play to that? And those couple of little electric eel runs by Mahomes. He's like an electric eel, Rich.
Yeah, no, he's tough to stop. He's truly amazing. I mean, we're seeing all-time greatness, for sure.
Does George Kittle have a bigger tight end game than Travis Kelce?
I love it. These are such great stars that are out there. That's what
the Super Bowl
is all about. You know?
And Kyle Shanahan, look, if they win this, San Francisco, which, God, they could, then we all remember, Rich. You don't forget, but... Well, wait, no, they've been almost at every NFC championship game the last 5 years.
Right.
But this is... If they win a Super Bowl, it kind of stamps like, no, we've been here for 5 years, rather than almost, we know you're really good, but not quite. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, stamps the whole 5 years. Do you agree with that?
Of course. 100%. Chris Berman here on the Rich Eisen Show here in Las Vegas. That's my last thing for you, is a man who has spent many years with the Swami hat on, needing to put the check mark next to the losing team on the screen. Can you believe we're here?
That's right. Well,
explain
what that means.
And this bet ESPN.
Oh, well,
you know what I mean?
Like, we're in Las Vegas. Team in Las Vegas.
You know what I mean? And you used to have to say, I'm taking this team to win, but the check mark is against the losing team because there's no covering.
Right.
You know? This is crazy that we're here.
Let's say somebody was favored by 7, just to put it back. But I would always pick a score at least 3 points off the number.
Right.
If you knew what the spread was, that you knew where I was signing. But the check mark, so if I had 20-17,
yes,
let's say that the 49ers are with their 49ers favorite, but not by as much as expected. or much closer than you think, or they're winning, but they're losing. Like, what is that, right? We didn't have time for a tutorial, Rich. I mean, it was, and you know what?
Yeah.
Nobody ever, anybody gave us a hard time for that. Because it was for fun.
Of course.
Really, when I started it, it was more in the 80s for the $5 office pool. That, frankly, really what it was.
Yeah.
And I guess now here we are in Las Vegas. So what happened to the office pool?
Well, it still exists. It's just probably with a couple zeros on the end of the 5 now.
Probably.
Great to see you, Chris. You're the best, man.
Congratulations on your success, Sue.
Appreciate
everybody.
It. Yeah, she wanted me to send her best to you, too.
Please do. Nice to be with you. I'm proud of you.
Right back at you. Oh, thank you. Means a lot. That's Chris Berman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, we wrap up our residency here this week with our game picks. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show from Vegas. All season long, we've watched the on and off-field moves made by NFL teams dictate their success, culminating in the ultimate move this weekend at Super Bowl 58. I'm here with CPA and TurboTax expert Lisa Green-Lewis. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa, they say life and football is like a game of inches. Every single move counts. And as a tax expert, you probably know a little something about this.
Yes, Rich. Life is all about making moves, whether it's the literal moves like buying a new home or the more figurative moves like having a baby, changing your job, or working a side gig or two.
And these moves can all impact your tax situation.
Absolutely, which can leave people uncertain about the moves they make and how it impacts their taxes and how to best save money.
And I imagine a lot of pro athletes run into this with endorsement deals, starting their own side hustles.
Yes, the less traditional the job or the more streams of income that you have, it makes your tax situation more involved. Which is why TurboTax works to get our customers the best tax outcome, no matter what moves they make.
So basically, the experts at TurboTax are like a championship-level coaching staff.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
Any last-minute advice for our viewers here?
When you file with TurboTax, our tax experts can prepare your taxes from start to finish and give you the support you need to make all of your moves count.
Well, you heard it here, folks, straight from Lisa at TurboTax. Thanks so much for being here, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
Back here on our Rich Eisen show set. What a day this was.
Oh, God.
You guys were saying in the break, you think it's our best show ever?
Yeah.
Like BSE? We went BSE here? Really?
I think you can put it up there with anything we've done in the last 9 years.
Yep. I agree.
How about them apples? We're back here on a Rich Eisen show, terrestrial radio network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Speed interviewing as I did today, you know, or just one after another after another.
Speed interviewing.
You know, and I'll use this as an opportunity to tout our guest list. And,
of course.
You know, our booking team is the best in the business. From Sean Payton to Sebastian Maniscalco, we were going to have Edelman and Gronk first, then Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, and we had to flip them due to when they were arriving here, and then they were both on the air at the same time, and Kreischer and Segura didn't want to leave, which is great. You want guests who want to stay, and then they sat in your chairs and got up, and then, you know, Greg Olson and Chris Berman just left. I just in that commercial break, as I sat down in the chair, I'm like, feeling like wiped out, a little out of it, and then I realized, oh, I did shots of alcohol.
We
in the
drank
second
a whole
hour.
Bottle of vodka.
We're crazy.
Bert, wait a minute, that bottle that they came with was
full.
Full.
It was full.
Emptied.
And there Edelman may have been a little bit out of it.
Well, I think Bert had started.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, oh, that's right.
Right.
I don't usually. So I don't know how it feels to do shots of vodka.
And you took
at
it right
10
to
in
the
morning.
Head, Rich.
You
took it.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you did.
I actually feel like that kind of woke me up. I was a little groggy after last night.
Now
I feel like I'm back.
What a show!
I'm ready to go.
Whoa, oh
ready
my!
Ready to roll.
Goodness.
This
gracious.
Was amazing. It really,
yeah.
really was.
And then Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
As well.
My mom is geeking out right. so bad that Kenny Chesney was on the
Is that
show.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. She loves him so much.
I think I really threw him off with the haiku thing. He couldn't believe it.
Because you might be, like, the only time he's ever revealed it to another human
and
being.
And then after it was over, he goes, he remembered who I was with, and it's a name you like to drop. And he was like, were you with him? And I'm like, yeah.
Why won't you drop Ashton Kutcher's name? Why don't you do it? Everybody who takes in this program
knows. They all know.
Knows we you're tight with him. So what does it matter?
You know,
it's like,
you know why?
He loves you, so it's not like you would ever think, hold on a second, it's not like you would ever think that you're using your friendship to up your game at his expense of his fame. I mean, what do you care?
Because, you know, he used to go on talk shows back in the day, and he'd tell stories, and he'd always be like, oh, my buddy would do this, or my buddy would do that. And I was like, that's me. Say me. Say my name. And he didn't.
Oh, so he's
so
doing
now,
it.
You know,
oh,
no. It's like, oh, you don't need to say your name.
I get it.
You could have told us that like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Now I respect. If you're talking spite, now you're talking my language.
That's amazing.
Now I get it.
Rick, wow. That's fantastic.
You know?
Wow. So, but yeah, okay. he was like, wait,
why did he ever tell you that?
Wait, were you with Ashton then? I was like, yeah, that was me.
Yes.
That's so funny.
That's one of the many reasons why you're like the Forrest Gump of this program.
He really is.
Is that you know everybody. You have floated through life. You've touched everybody, you know,
not
lives.
Not inappropriately, though.
No, come on, man.
But that was a 20-year pull that you just threw on Kenny.
He was just like, what the what?
It was 2012.
When
and he showed me a picture with him.
Yeah, we
from
I saw that before. But he did also remember the haiku he was using to try and date somebody.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That was nice.
By the way, I mean, Kenny Chesney needs to write a poem that dates somebody.
Well done.
That is a tough one to crack right
well
there.
Well done.
All right. Well, at any rate, fun show. A great week here in Las Vegas. It's now time to finally put up or shut up. It's time for our game picks presented by TurboTax. And Chris Brock, you've heard everybody over the last 2 weeks since we have known.
So many.
Since we have known who's going to play in this Super Bowl. Chris Brockman, you are first up. Your game pick for the big game is what?
I love that both of these teams' fan bases think I hate them, which is fantastic.
But that means you're now a bona fide national
Absolutely,
broadcaster, Chris.
I love it. I know how
you're no longer an actor.
That's right. I know how Joe Buck feels. I think it's high scoring, 30-24. And for the first time in almost 30 years, the San Francisco 49ers are hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, and Christian McCaffrey is Super Bowl MVP.
So you think the Niners are putting 30 up on the Chiefs defense?
I think they run the ball. McCaffrey goes nuts. Two tutties, 130 total yards, 5-6 catches. He does everything.
TJ Jefferson, your game pick for the big game with an MVP choice is?
Okay, well, you know, I could keep a secret based upon my Price is Right situation when I didn't tell anybody. And for 7 months, I've been holding on to this.
Oh, that's your script.
And you guys have won it, and I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I will now.
It's the worst script ever. It started with Aaron Rodgers' Achilles blowing up in five snaps.
I'm going to say 23-17.
What do you mean going to say? You say it's on a piece of paper.
Well, I'm good. Yeah. The score is going to be 23-17.
Yeah, who's winning?
The winning team will be the Chiefs of Kansas City.
Okay.
And the MVP, I mean, look, how can you deny it? It's going to be Travis Kelce.
Oh! Now, does the script say, does he propose?
Look, I can't give everything out. Just wait. There's two pages left.
Well done.
Yeah, just wait.
So how does Kelce win the MVP and not Mahomes?
Well, Travis Kelce's going to break the Super Bowl record for most catches. So he's going to have 15.
Okay.
And he's probably going to get two tutties. And then
the rest are Butker kicks. So that's and that's how the 23.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
So there you go.
All right.
Look, I didn't come up with this. It was already written.
Do you want to go on the fly here?
I'll go on the fly. I can't bet against, I can't even think about anything other than Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have to win this game.
Okay.
Because it's in there. It's got to happen. You can't go against Mahomes.
Okay.
We've seen it.
Do you got a score and you got an MVP?
I like 20-17.
Okay. And who's your MVP?
I am probably going to say Mahomes. I'm taking Mahomes.
All right. It's now time for my game.
What do you got, Rich?
My game
Let's
pick.
Go.
Here we go.
Oh, Rich.
Listen, before the season, I had the Chiefs and the 49ers. I believe I chose the 49ers to win the Super Bowl.
I believe you did. Yeah.
Then I had a chance on the NFL Game Day morning Thanksgiving show to have a mulligan. I got off the Chiefs. I had the Ravens. And I chose the Ravens against the 49ers. I forgot who I picked to win the Super Bowl because it's insignificant now. Then when the playoffs began, I had on NFL Network an opportunity to switch one more time, and I stayed put. Said it's going to be the Ravens and it's going to be the 49ers in Vegas. And then I kept taking – I did choose the Chiefs against the Dolphins. Then I took the Bills against the Chiefs, and Eric Stonestreet sent me a very angry text. And then he was telling me all week long, don't do it again, Rich. Don't do it again. And I kept hearing my friend from Modern Family. And I'm like, what does he know? He loves the Chiefs. And I kept thinking to myself, I cannot bet against Mahomes. And I made a switch off the Ravens to the Chiefs. So here we are again. It's Chiefs and the 49ers, as I predicted before the season. And I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs to win Super Bowl 58. They're going to win this game, and they're going to win it by the final score of 24-21. Ooh. I'm going to say that they're going to take the lead, and then the defense is going to make a stop to end the game. And that will be the way that this Super Bowl ends. And the MVP is Patrick Mahomes. We are all rent-paying in Mahomes' world right now. I believe that's where we are. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. Will I admit it later on? Maybe. Depends on whether or not Bert Kreischer comes back here with his alcohol. But that's my prediction. That is my game pick. And that was all of our game picks presented by TurboTax. Like football, life is all about making moves. And when you file with TurboTax, you've got the tools, experts, and services needed to make your moves count. I want to thank everybody that's behind the camera right now. Everybody, I see you, Liz. You are a rock star. Where's Crittenden? James Crittenden, there they are. Everyone in the truck, from Hoskins to Monaco to everybody. Smitch, our entire production team back home.
Thank you.
I want to thank the three of you here. I want to thank everybody behind the camera that has been awesome with us.
Thank you, guys.
Right here. And the jib camera was very Sebastian Maniscalco's favorite.
Jib. Yeah. Let's hear for the jib.
Of course, I want to thank everybody with Roku and with TurboTax and BMW and Subway and everybody that's been putting their marker on our second Super Bowl show with the Roku channel.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks.
And I'm sure I'm leaving anybody out, and for that I apologize in advance. But man, this is a total blast. And boy, am I hammered.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not. I'm fine.
We usually get drunk when Susie's hosting, so this was
I know Susie's probably jealous. Okay. Hoskins as well, and Monaco. I said that in the truck for sure. And so bottom line is this. We've had a great time, and thank you to the NFL, Nikki Ewell, and the NFL Experience, the Super Bowl X, as they say, for letting us hang out here for 3 days. And I want to thank Nickelodeon as well for not having children the last 2 days. I came to the Super Bowl to get away from my children. What the hell has happened?
Rich, I want to give a shout-out.
Is this on? No, I love my children.
The Vegas Golden Knights football team that was behind us, I told them I'd give them a shout-out.
Well done.
So shout-out to the Get 'Em Boys.
Well done. That wraps it up for our residency here in Las Vegas. You will see us next right here in the TurboTax studio from Las Vegas with the Rich Eisen Big Game Bonus Special all weekend long on the Roku channel.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And she'd be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.